Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What if we had a show about solutions?
You know, a repair manual for the real world.
Not the same old left versus right.
I am right, I'm right. And you are wrong.
Boring.
Yeah, something new.
Yeah, something new. How to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
How do we fix it?
How do we fix it?
Hi, I'm Jim Meggs with Richard Davies, and we have another show that looks at a big problem and suggests solutions. This one's about the booming on-demand economy. Companies like Uber, Lyft, HomeJoy, and hundreds of others.
They offer a really big range of services to consumers. Some will drive you where you want to go. Others will clean your home, do your laundry, ship your packages. It all sounds pretty great. These startups may have a problem, though, with their workers, or contractors, as they prefer to call them. Instead of offering real middle-class jobs for these people, they often end up being just day workers.
Yeah, recently the California Labor Commission ruled that an Uber driver was actually an employee and not a contractor, which is how Uber has handled all of its drivers.
Now, this could be a huge blow to Uber, not having to pay benefits and paperwork. Will save them a lot of money, but is this fair to employees?
Helping us to sort all this out is Marcella Sapone. She's the co-founder and CEO of Hello Alfred, a startup company that dispatches helpers to do all kinds of errands like laundry, cleaning, and grocery shopping. And why did you name your firm Hello Alfred?
So we wanted it to be a conversation with a person who you could trust to help you get things done in your home. And Alfred has traditionally been a name in literature that denotes help. And most famously, Alfred was Batman's butler.
Now, what do you consider the people who work for you to be? Do you think of them as employees or contractors?
So they are W-2 employees. We actually think about them as our primary customer.
Now, one of your direct competitors, a company called HomeJoy, uses contractors. So why did you make this decision to have employees rather than contractors?
So we're a little different in the fact that we are going to give you a dedicated person who's going to visit your home each week. We even have the keys to your home. So there's a high and deep level of trust that's necessary.
Where did you get the idea for Hello Alfred and how did it really come to be?
Sure. So my co-founder and I, Jessica Beck, were both working in finance in New York before we went to business school. And we were working there very long hours. And when we went to business school, we remarked at the fact that there was like a 50-50 split. There were women and there were men. And then when you look later in your career and you look in the finance industry, there are very few women. So we actually went on a little bit of a journey looking for what's the difference? What happens? When women stay in the workforce, what do they have? And the answer is help. And so how could we make help accessible to more people and in a way that was fun and playful and was respectful? And our way of thinking about it was, okay, a traditional butler, which is, you know, basically a motherly type figure who is coming into your home on a weekly basis to take care of the routine things that happen every week. Your groceries, laundry, dry cleaning, keeping your apartment clean, taking your shoes to the cobbler, picking up packages, getting prescriptions. The long list of things that you do on the weekend. And sometimes you don't have that weekend.
Is it mostly for two income couples? Is it for people who have a lot of money? I mean, what is your target audience?
It's really accessible. There's really two main types of users, people who are young in their career, spending a lot of time at work and really devoting their energy to doing that. And the second are dual income households that are thinking about chores and work within the home in a different way and saying, how can we make this more fair and not make this just a woman's job?
So right? Helping you manage your life.
That's right.
And also kicking us guys in the butt a
bit. Well, you know, I think the big focus of why we wanted to have you in for this episode is this idea that our economy is changing to more of a freelance, on-demand economy. One study said something like 40% of workers would be contractors or freelance in one way or another. And there's a lot of implications for this in terms of the security of jobs and the relationships. You wrote a piece recently, I thought this was intriguing, and you said that these on-demand firms turn interactions into transactions. Well, explain what you meant by that.
So a lot of the on-demand companies that are using contractors, they're using them to essentially go the last mile. And so technology connects you with a service and you can ask for things on demand. But the people who are really satisfying and doing the deliveries are people. You are not interacting with them. You don't necessarily know their name. You don't have an ongoing relationship. It's a one-time take the taco and go. And that is a very different situation than having a relationship with somebody who is over time learning more and more about you.
I want to step back a little bit because it really seems like the economy is changing. I mean, when I started working, back in the 1970s, the expectation for most people was that they'd work for the same single employer for decades. And then we were told in the 90s, no, you'll work for a bunch of different employers. And now we're at this stage where, as you mentioned, Jim, this Intuit study is suggesting that we'll have 40% of the total workforce being freelancers. So things have really changed pretty radically, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a giant paradigm shift in how we think about the future of work. Many of us are turning ourselves into our own employer. We're working from home. Maybe we're working from shared space. We're doing things we're passionate about, and we're doing lots of different things. And that means that we're needing to find the things that our employer once did for us in terms of benefits and tax withholding and insurance and kind of career progression and planning and take that upon ourselves.
Rich, I want to push back a little bit on something you said about how, oh, in the old days, everybody thought they'd go work for one employer. Maybe they thought that, but actually, if you look in the history, it wasn't so much true. It wasn't you went to work in the GE factory and you spent 40 years there. Actually, people did move around in their jobs in the 50s and 60s more than we think. And so I do think there's a shift here, but maybe it's not as profound as was once believed.
But what's troubling to me is just that it's so unstable that people really have no clue about what they're going to do. And yes, you can see the positive in that individuals are more entrepreneurial, perhaps, and maybe there are more opportunities for some people. But for many others, it's really scary out there.
As a longtime employer, I've run a number of different magazines. A lot of the workforce that we would hire in magazines are freelancers, and it's the only way to do it. I mean, a magazine can't afford to have 40 freelance writers on staff, and it gives opportunity to a wide range of people. So I would defend the freelance model for certain types of work. But what I'm really interested, Marcella, in your firm is, so you've gone into a business where you could very easily have just hired contractors.
That's right.
And you made this really interesting decision, and I think it's almost part of the branding of your company that you've decided to treat these people as full-time employees. And I think you make a really good case for why.
I think it's very important to say to them, and it's messaging to them and saying, like, you really are the most important part of our business. You're what powers our business.
So the difference is a real employee, a full-time employee gets a W-2 tax form. The contractor gets a 1099 tax form. You take on a lot of responsibilities. And because of a lot of labor-friendly laws and regulations, you also take on a certain amount of risk. It's harder to get rid of an employee, and you might have to have more severance and other issues you have to take into account if you do need to make changes in your workforce.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons that 1099 is a wonderful option for a startup. Startups are fast growing. They don't have a lot of resources. You don't know the future. That is the definition of doing a new business. And I think the growth in the economy is really coming from small businesses and startups like mine. And so what we're saying is that the new workforce is, if we say the majority of it is contractors, is in this precarious situation where the benefits associated with the employer, like the social contract that we know that we get from the employer, that is what the laws in the government were constructed around, protections for the employee, minimum wage, workers' comp, insurance, helping with tax withholding and doing your taxes and bookkeeping correctly. Those are all actually really important things. 401k planning, and most importantly, health benefits. And you're seeing giant changes in the economy where more and more of those things are available to you outside of your employer, but yet are not accessible, and the knowledge and information isn't necessarily out there. So there's a little bit of a disconnect. So if more and more of the workforce is going to be 1099, we need to, more and more of them to have access.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do these third-party services.
Does this have a profound impact, though, on community, on our links to each other? If we're all freelancers, or if most of, or many of us are freelancers and we're free agents, does that mean that the ties to each other are less than they otherwise would be? That we're less of a community? We're not in this thing together. We're all free agents.
I mean, not necessarily. You can make the argument that perhaps you're not in shared space. You're not working together for a collective goal, that you're working for your individual goal. But at the same time, I think that these technology platforms like the one that we're building and you know, others like HomeJoy and TaskRabbit, they're really connecting you to more services and more products and more people and creating connections you might not have even had. I think many of us don't know our neighbors today. And in the new paradigm, like there's so much social connection that's happening online.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that, but I liked what you said about the role that a company can take. It maybe seems a little paternalistic, but an awful lot of people, again, speaking as someone who's hired a lot of people, I've had a lot of young people working for me who really weren't clued into why, even when you're in your 20s, a 401k is a really good idea and you should be putting your money into it. And the company can sort of have a little bit of a protective umbrella over people. The flip side is maybe they don't, you know, move up as fast or have the flexibility they would have under a contractor arrangement. I do think for a lot of people, I like the case you're making for a company like yours that really needs that intimate relationship with employees to work that way.
And we selected the W-2 option to message basically to our employees and to the world, this is really important to us. I think there needs to be a match in terms of really saying, look, people are doing a service. In a service-based company, you need to respect the people who are driving those interactions and not transactions.
Many of your competitors and other companies in this on-demand economy, companies that offer online services like Uber and Lyft and others, they've gone down a different path. So what are some of the challenges you faced in your determination that you're going to have employees and you're going to have a tight relationship with them rather than just have contractors?
So we lost the opportunity to have some flexibility in terms of, if you have a 1099 relationship, you can very quickly change the terms of work. You can change the pay. You can very easily fire people. You can offer an ability for people to take more than one job. So a Uber driver can also be a Lyft driver, whereas a W-2 employee relationship is usually exclusive. You put all of the administrative burden and cost of having insurance, accounting, taxes, all of that stuff, even having a phone to do your job, onto the 1099 contractor. We then had to take on those costs and that planning. And really the most important part of it is thinking about the training element. If you're in a contracting relationship, you are not technically able to inform or instruct your contractor on how they do their job, when they do their job, or how they get paid.
But have there been any challenges for you? I mean, has it meant that it's more expensive, that it's harder for you to offer your service for what I think it's $99 a
month?
Right,
Richard. Yeah, it's definitely changed our cost structure. So we estimate between 20% to 30% of our cost structure today is driven by the fact we chose a W-2 employer relationship. However, on the flip side, we have seen, so we started out as a 1099 contract or relationship, and when we switched over, we saw a huge increase in our retention of our Alfred client managers. I mean, 30% increase, which is astronomical. We also saw one-third of our customer complaints disappear.
Marcella, you've given some really good thought. Our show's about solutions, and you've given some really good thought to some of the lessons we might be able to take from your experience in your company and apply more broadly, both on, you know, individual, community, government levels.
So I think when we think about individuals, when we think about freelancers, the key word here is agency. You're taking on the agency and the choice and the freedom to drive your own career. That means you also need to do the work to make sure that you have a career. So you don't want to choose a job that basically turns the things that you're doing into commodities or transactions. You want to learn an expertise. You want to think about, why are you doing this job versus another? And if you have the option to have a 1099 relationship with versus a W-2, I would suggest that you would go to your employer and very strongly say, look, there are things that I need if we want to have a 1099 relationship to make sure that I'm in a good position, meaning I need access to discounted healthcare. I need access to help doing my accounting and financing. And what kind of training am I going to get on this job?
Because the minuses are pretty obvious for if you're a 1099, the element of stability in your life is less, that nobody's necessarily looking out for you. So what you're saying is that individuals who are freelancers, they need to advocate for themselves, right?
That's right. They become their own advocate.
At the same time, they have that opportunity to work for multiple. I'm going back thinking about my writers, photographers, illustrators, get to work for multiple companies simultaneously and bump up their income possibly.
Let's move from individuals to communities. And what can communities do about either a problem or an opportunity with this changing workforce?
I think within communities, and the way I think about communities, it's both employers, it's you and your neighbors, and it's local organizations. Understanding that more and more work is happening outside of employers' doors. And so what types of resources are you making available? What type of education are you giving to the community? So that's number one. Number two, companies inside these communities have to step up and choose the right relationship between employees and the company. And it's definitely okay to use 1099, but you have to balance it in other ways. So you want to offer 1099 contractors access to discounted health insurance. You probably want to have a partnership with the freelancers' unions, making it okay for drivers, for example, in Uber and Lyft, to have the ability to advocate for themselves in a more collective fashion.
Well, what is that organization?
The Freelancers Union is a group of people that is trying to create a collective voice for freelancers and make sure that they have rights that address the power asymmetry that you have with an employee and employer.
You have some thoughts about what the federal government can do, because obviously W-2, 1099, these are all based on IRS classifications, and you think they're out of date.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think that people in my industry, you can look at the list of the things the IRS writes as a checklist for what qualifies as a 1099 contractor. And when you go down that checklist, it's things like, do you tell them what to wear? Do you tell them where to be? Do you train them? Do you tell them how they're going to get paid? And a lot of those things really skew towards being an employee. Now, I think that there is a middle ground between W-2 and 1099. There's a convergence that needs to happen. We want to give workers the ability and the flexibility to have more than one job, to choose different types of transactions or jobs they want to be a part of, at the same time that we're giving them provisions, protections, learning, education, training, the ability to move up in their career instead of just being stuck. And I think that's really important. And so what does that mean? It means we need a new type of classification in between these two that currently exist.
So that's really interesting. I mean, what would that involve?
You can have a 1099 relationship, but there are requirements for that employer to provide some level of access to healthcare, to tax withholding and financial planning, to minimum wage requirements, most importantly, to insurance, and like this concept of if something goes wrong, that you have an ability to provide for yourself. And most importantly, career advancement, which requires a training program through your career.
And so right now there's this perverse disincentive to the employer. You may have a 1099 worker that you love and you'd love to see them develop, but you're actually, if you give them too much career advice or too much training, then the IRS might come down and say, oh no, this is really a full-time employee and now you owe them all these back benefits.
Right, back taxes and penalties for essentially classifying your workforce in the wrong way.
And I like your thinking that we want to protect people, but let's also, right now we have these two very different classifications, both of which have limitations. If we could have kind of a middle ground or compromise, it would allow some of this flexibility, but still, you know, address some of those problems.
Yeah, there's definitely a win-win situation where there's lots of reason why, as a startup founder, I would love to have a 1099 relationship with my employees. There's lots of reasons why employees or people who are working would want to be a 1099 contractor. But there are things that are not in that relationship that are very, very important. And I think that's where the government needs to come in and essentially just do have a little bit of oversight.
So, but you're not talking about it being a big new bureaucratic imposition on employers.
No, in fact, I actually think that it's a total waste of time and cost and legal process to be arguing over the W-2 and 1099 debate. Like, these are just old measuring sticks and they're old classifications that no longer fit.
I love the sound of that. You'd mentioned before your idea that we want people working with contract employees to be able to give them 401ks, insurance, and other things that are similar to the kinds of benefits you get as a full-time employee. You described it as a meta layer of services. Sounds to me like maybe an opportunity for yet another startup.
This is why the U.S. is so great. Capitalism, right? So the government doesn't need to step in and dictate it. There is definitely a market opportunity, and there has been a lot of venture funding into new HR startups, in new legal startups, in new abilities to do your own healthcare. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch I could name: Benny, Oscar, Zenefits, where you can take that management of your career into your own hands.
And it's because it's so hard. It has been so difficult for people to do. And that's one thing, you know, that has always struck me is people trying to get their own insurance and handle these issues. So, as the sort of free market libertarian on the panel here, you know, I really couldn't agree more. It's not necessarily something that needs a big government solution, but maybe there's a smart free market solution. Then the IRS has to back off a little bit and recognize this new era of flexibility.
I think I'm going to be pushing back a little bit. Marcella Sapone, thanks
okay.
very much.
Yeah,
excellent.
My pleasure.
So, Jim, what I really like about Marcella's approach is she really does seem to be caring for her workforce.
That's her business, too. I mean, she has a business where you're sending people into your home. You want to know who they are. So I would argue as the bare-knuckled capitalist, what she's doing is just good business. And I think that she recognizes these longer-term relationships, less employee turnover, more career development for their employees. That's all good for their customers, too. It's not just because they want to be all, nice and cuddly to their employees.
But don't you think that employers need a nudge? Maybe not necessarily a nudge from the government, but a nudge to be more proactive when it comes to their employees. But they don't do that in many cases.
Well, the ones that don't do it and it hurts their business will go out of business. I don't think they necessarily need a nudge. And I don't think corporations necessarily need to conduct themselves just to, you know, to be nice. But what's so interesting is usually it is good business to take better care of your employees and to make them part of this long-term joint effort, this very communal effort, instead of just treating them like anonymous hired guns.
Now, she talked about individuals, and she said, you know, you really need to be your own advocate. And that's fine for a lot of people, but I'm not sure that works for everybody.
Okay, so she's talking about people who are in the freelance world.
Yeah, 40%, according to this Intuit report. I mean, that's a tremendous percentage of the population that is like floating from one thing to another.
Right. So, and you're saying you're not happy with this world that is becoming more freelance, more of a contractor basis. And so then maybe we need stricter employment laws in a lot of businesses, including the magazine business. Sometimes the IRS will step in and say, oh, you've been treating these people like contractors, they're really employees, you owe them all these benefits. Here's the downside of that. Europe. Look at Europe. It has incredibly protective laws to help employees. It's very hard to fire people. It's great if you've got a job, especially if you've got a job and you're not very good at your job. It's awesome because you'll never get fired. It's really bad for young people, minorities, the less educated, immigrants. The unemployment rates among those populations in Europe are through the roof. And it's because there's so much protection for employees that there's very little turnover. I would rather take a somewhat more chaotic, somewhat scarier world, but where there's real opportunity, including for that 17-year-old who's never held a job or that 25-year-old whose English isn't very good, but they're really striving.
Yeah, I think I'm halfway between you and Europe. I accept your criticisms of a situation where people who already have a job have excessive protections and are not encouraged to do any better for themselves. I get it. But on the other hand, I do think there need to be protections for people who aren't articulate or aren't confident, don't have an ability, perhaps, to really advocate for themselves.
Okay, so
a lot of people like that.
Right, right. I mean, I think everybody's like that to some extent. You know, but here's where I think her broader suggestion, I thought the most interesting thing was this idea on the government level. We need to break down this rigid distinction between the W-2 employees and the 1099 contractors. It's an archaic distinction. The IRS is really tying the hands of employers, and she's suggesting this middle ground where, you know, you have contractors, but you do provide some of that envelope of protection. And I love this idea of a meta layer, you know, an outside contractor could handle the financial stuff, the insurance stuff, other elements that traditional employees did. It allowed these smart little startups to take better care of their employees without having to build giant bureaucratic HR departments.
And here's one area where I think the government can help, and you may not agree with me, but providing basic health care. I mean, Obamacare may not be perfect, but it's a lot better than people having no protection whatsoever. I mean, the government does have to be able to provide a baseline if we're going to have this brave new world of many more people being free agents.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Obamacare is a topic for another show, and I worry that's just layers and layers of more bureaucracy.
I guess what I'm saying is that, yes, if we're going to have more people who are freelancers, we're also going to have a more active discussion about social justice.
Now we're going over the edge. If you've got an individual employee, you know, who's making a decision that's good for them, you know, and especially, you know, and you have companies that are really working in their long-term interest to develop a really good workforce. I think once we start bringing phrases like social justice into it, who's going to be swing the billy club to make that happen? And that's just going to make all these companies less efficient.
I don't see why we shouldn't have a discussion about social justice. I don't see that just because you're in favor of social justice doesn't mean that you only want big unions or big government to be out there waving the cudgel,
because social justice,
it's not oppressive.
Social justice is a code word for income redistribution. And you know, we're talking about empowering people to have good careers and move up, to advance, not just to tax one group and give tons of money to another group.
The question is whether you're empowering some people or you're empowering everybody.
Yeah, well, so you empower people by helping them get good jobs. And I don't think the social justice agenda does that. This is a great topic for a show. We could spend a lot of time on this. And it's a little afield from where we are on this topic. But what I really like about Hello Alfred is what a great opportunity for a lot of people who maybe don't fit in the current job market, and maybe they can't work full time. Maybe, you know, that maybe they're taking care of an elderly parent or something like that. It's a fantastic opportunity to give people who don't fit into that 9-to-5 workforce template an opportunity to have a really neat career that really uses their skills. And I'm all for it. And I'm leery of, you know, bureaucratic solutions to problems that make this kind of business harder to run.
On that, I agree. Jim?
All right, Richard.
I think we fixed something. Thank yous, Miranda Schaefer, our producer, and Denise Barbarita, our audio engineer at Mona Lisa Studio here in the bottom part of Upper Manhattan. We're in a basement as we speak. And also Lou Stravinsky, who did our music. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.